Hey, welcome to the Weights, Wellness, and Witchery podcast, the podcast that touches on everything wellness from the physical to the metaphysical. I'm your host, Grace Elizabeth. I'm a certified personal trainer and a wellness coach who specializes in making you feel awesome from the inside out. So if feeling awesome is something that you're interested in, I highly suggest you stick around because, as I mentioned before, that's kind of my thing. All right, let's do this.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Weights, Wellness, and Witchery podcast. I'm your host, Grace Elizabeth, and today I am interviewing Camille Kelly. She is a coach for overwhelmed leaders looking to create more joy and balance in their lives. And I actually met Camille, I feel like kind of randomly, in a Facebook group, but I do feel like the universe like brought us together. So welcome, Camille. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm great. It's a beautiful day here. I'm really, really happy to be here with you.
Awesome. Awesome. And yeah, like I was saying, so we met in a Facebook group, and actually when I met Camille, she was looking for people to speak in one of her virtual wellness retreats. And I was like, that's perfect. And so I reached out to her, and ever since then, we've pretty much been working together. That was like almost a year ago, right? I think at this point.
Yeah.
So I just love Camille. I think she has an amazing energy. She's been my coach now for a little while as well. And one of my favorite things, well, there's two things that I really love about you, Camille. And one is that your EFT tapping sessions are incredible. And for those of you who don't know what that is, we're going to get into that a little bit. But it's emotional freedom therapy. Is that correct?
Sometimes I'm emotional freedom technique, but
That's right. Okay. Yep. So, and that's something I had discovered on my own. And then I met Camille, and she was doing these guided sessions, and they were just incredible. So I was really drawn to her because of that. And the other thing is, now that I've been working on her with her one-on-one, she has like such a great way of reminding, and I'm sure she's probably this way with her other clients as well, but so you have such a great way of like reminding me to celebrate my wins and like actually recognize when I'm achieving the goals that I set out for myself. So that's another thing that I really love about you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And I think so today, let's talk about this EFT, the emotional freedom technique. And because that is one of my favorite things that you do. And it's just something that I feel like is such a like an attainable, helpful tool for everyone. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what that is and how you got into it and what it does for you and how you use it with your clients?
Sure. Yeah. So EFT, otherwise known as emotional freedom technique or tapping. For those of you who aren't familiar with it or don't know what it is exactly, it is a type of psychological acupressure that uses the act of tapping. So you're light tapping with your fingers on different points in your body. And the idea behind it is that these different points in your body harness energy and can block and open the flow of energy. And so when you tap on those different points, you're releasing blocked energy. And when you are doing the sequence of tapping, you're also talking about different emotional aspects of things that you're struggling with or going through. And so I really love it because it's combining this sort of talking therapy with physical movement. And you can look at it from two different perspectives. You can look at it from the perspective of energy healing, in the realm of how your energy is moving through your body and how your emotions are connected to your energy. But for those of you who may not be familiar with energy healing, or maybe it's hard for you to wrap your head around, or you just don't really see it from that perspective. You can also think of it as this type of psychological exercise that is doing specific movements that help distract you so that you focus. You're focusing really closely on the words that you're saying, and the words that you're saying are releasing these emotions, these fears, these self-doubts, things like that. I think it's really amazing. And it's actually, I found for many people, it's surprisingly effective. So a lot of people go into it thinking, ah, oh, this sounds kind of weird. I don't really know how this is going to work. I'm tapping on my forehead. I'm tapping on different parts of my body. And then they'll try it and they're just amazed by how calm they feel, how centered they feel. I even notice when I'm leading sessions that my tone of voice changes because I'm so relaxed. So it's really interesting. And I actually got into it a few years back, probably maybe like 6 because I used to struggle with severe anxiety. And I was looking for whatever I could help relieve this debilitating anxiety that was going on. I would have panic attacks sometimes several times a day. I just really felt very trapped inside my body. And I was looking for different holistic healing methods. Cool. So I was looking for different holistic healing modalities to help me just get in control of my anxiety. And I discovered tapping. I honestly don't even remember exactly how I found it. I think I had just looked and searched for anything that I could. And I tried it. And the first time I tried it, I experienced this really huge shift in feeling much more calm than I had in a very long time and without medication. And it was incredible. And I was so surprised too, because I really didn't expect anything to happen. I really thought that it was not gonna work. I thought it sounded really ridiculous, honestly. And I was so surprised and so excited that I started practicing it more frequently on my own. And then I found that it worked so well for me that I just had to share it with other people. And so I started just talking to different people about it. And then when I started my business a couple of years ago, and it was really, you know, wellness focused, I realized that I had to, you know, I had to teach tapping. I had to teach because it was such an effective method of healing for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I think that when I first discovered tapping, I was listening to like a podcast and there was somebody like you on there talking about it, teaching it. And they actually did like a tapping session on the podcast.
Oh, cool.
And I remember I was in my car and I ended up like pulling over. I like just came out of like Trader Joe's or some shit. And I was sitting in my car and I did it along with it. And they're like talking about, you know, the first time you might not feel anything, it's going to feel weird, right? Like, maybe it will. And so like I was sitting there and I did it. I just like, I could feel the energy being released like throughout my entire body from like every single pressure point. And I was like, holy crap. So yeah, same thing. It was immediately like, wow, this is so awesome and so simple and easy to do wherever you are. Like no matter what, anyone can do it. So I really love that about it. And your tapping sessions, like we did that one group tapping session. I thought that was so amazing and so powerful. And so have you, like, you've now taught tapping to so many people, I'm sure, because I know even in that one session we had like, I don't know, 7 people. Have you seen a lot of transformations and like I've noticed that more often than not, people like immediately are getting relief from this or finding it helpful in some way?
Yes, yes, totally. And, you know, it's funny. I have kind of a funny relationship with tapping because when I started teaching it, I felt like this really strong imposter syndrome, even though I studied so much about it and learned how to teach it and all of that stuff. I felt like, you know, who am I to teach this? But whenever I would lead a session, people just thanked me so much. And this was like so helpful and I really appreciate this. And so I just kept on providing that because, I do that with small groups of people. I do one-on-one sessions with tapping. I also do corporate tapping, which I think is really, really fun and interesting. So I will go into different businesses, you know, especially ones that are maybe having a little bit of trouble with employee morale or stress or whatever. And I'll teach them how to do tapping, and I'll lead a tapping session, which actually it works really, really well on Zoom.
Yeah.
So because everyone can just sort of turn off their microphones or turn off their video, and then they just repeat after me. And those sessions I found to be so incredible, because I get so many people coming to me and saying, oh my God, like I had no idea this thing existed, and that was incredible. I need more of this.
Yeah.
And so it makes me really happy to bring that to new people.
That's so awesome. I had no idea that you were doing corporate tapping sessions. I think that's probably the most like needed group of people in the world. Totally. As someone who's worked in several different corporate. So I have a question for you. I know that you've had kind of a journey from the corporate world yourself. And so I feel like you and I have kind of similar journeys in a way, but I have not really heard your full story or even part of it. So what kind of led you out of that and into the coaching realm and the wellness realm and whatever other, I know you're doing a few different types of coaching now, but yeah. So what caused that transition for you?
Yeah. So, I actually ended up in the corporate world because, there's a lot of reasons for it, but it kind of ended up being sort of a default sort of thing. Like right. I felt like I had to. Growing up, I always felt very creative, and I really wanted to work in a field that allowed me to really be super expressive in my creativity, but as I grew up, I started to feel like maybe that wasn't really possible for me. And I got all of these different messages, you know, from the outside world saying, oh, it's not very practical to have a creative career or to be an artist or any of that stuff. Like you can't make it in the real world, or there's too much competition, or, you know, whatever people tend to hear. So I internalized a lot of that and just, and tried different sort of creative ventures for a little while, and felt like it just wasn't going to happen for me. So then I ended up getting a job in the corporate world, working for a tech company, which I actually really enjoyed because it did have a lot of different ways that I could like build community and plan events and things like that. But that ended up leading to a couple of other jobs.
Yeah, you're here for now. Cool. Where were we? Oh, we were talking about
okay
you were in the corporate, so you got a couple more jobs after that in the corporate world that maybe you didn't like. I don't know, where you can pick up where you left off. That's like the last thing I heard.
Sure. So I found that I had been working in these different corporate jobs that started out being great and really focusing in on my talents and skills, and then getting increasingly further away from those things that lit me up or that I enjoyed or that I felt like I was actually good at. And I ended up finally in this one position where I was basically just creating contracts for a architecture firm. And it was just a lot of really nitty gritty details and a lot of entering information into spreadsheets and the same thing every single day. And basically it was the furthest away that I could possibly get from my strengths and interests. And that I found was just absolutely so soul draining and crushing to the point that I realized I couldn't do that anymore. You know, I couldn't deny who I was anymore. And I felt this deep sense of inner knowing that I was really good at things, but these were good at. And of course, you know, that was making me miserable. And so it actually ended up causing a lot of physical issues because I was so stressed every day. I felt like I went into the office feeling like I was going to do something wrong. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, oh, I'm just going to mess up again. And then they're going to, you know, show me my mistakes and then I'm going to do it over and then I'm going to mess up again. And that's basically how it was every day. And so mm-hmm. it was just, you know, not a great environment for self-esteem. And so I started, you know, thinking about, okay, well then what would I like to do? What would I actually want to do? And I started hearing about, you know, different opportunities for building a business, and that made me get kind of curious. And I felt like I really wanted to offer others the opportunity to express themselves creatively in a way that I felt like I didn't have or that I needed. And mm-hmm. so that started with putting together these creativity and wellness workshops. And so basically what I wanted to do was bring people who were feeling stressed and overwhelmed and you know, disconnected with their true selves, bring them this opportunity to come and meet with other people and like be in this space of just acceptance and play and creativity and fun. And I'd put together these different activities for them to do. And it was really fun. It was really a playful space. I thought of it as kind of like taking like Burning Man for, you know, for a couple hours and then combining that with like kindergarten for adults. Right. So, just like very playful and silly and easy. And so I had a lot of fun running those workshops. And then from there, I started sort of naturally like coaching people and helping them, you know, pursue their creative aspirations. And then it turned into this, you know, big coaching thing. And then I started holding retreats, you know, wellness retreats like the one that you led in. And yeah, things have just really blossomed from there. And it's really exciting to see that for myself, you know, I've been able to figure out what I am actually really good at and, you know, and do more of that. And for other people, I've been able to help them figure out, you know, the things that they really love that bring them joy too.
Yeah, that's awesome. And yeah, as someone who I both spoke at and participated in one of your wellness retreats, I can say it was definitely so, and like such a needed time too, right? Last year, it was so awesome just to have a place to like come and learn all these different things. Right? You had yoga instructors, you had, I think there was someone making like sugar lip scrub and like just everything. It was, yeah. It was pretty cool. So, and then of course going after that, being in one of your group programs and then working with you one-on-one, I can definitely see the value that you bring in all of these different areas. And like, you're definitely the one person who's constantly reminding me to make things fun and have fun. And I love that. It's funny because I'm like just about to like release this program that I'm working on. And by the time this airs, it'll already be out, so I can say it right now. But it's going to be like a summer camp. Like the theme is like summer camp. And so it kind of the same idea as you were saying, just like bringing people together, having all these like no pressure, silly, fun activities, and like just kind of like creating that community and being the person who like sets all that up and brings everyone together, then gives them that permission to just like chill and play. And I think that's super awesome. So, okay, man. So let's see. Right now you are kind of, getting into a coaching for like a specific, I don't want to say demographic or whatever the word people use is niche, I don't know. But I'm assuming, you know, you kind of find yourself in this place. Could you figure out where you can bring the most value and who you can help the most and who you enjoy working with and really like what aligns with what you're teaching? So right now, who is it that you're looking to help and what is your goal and where do you see it kind of going in the future?
Yeah. So, I think that my niche has kind of like shifted a little bit over time, because my, focus and interests have changed. When I actually first started, doing coaching, a lot of it was focused on alleviating anxiety.
because I felt like that was something that, you know, I needed help with and that I was able to help others with, you know, understanding from a place of my personal experience. And then it sort of developed into following, you know, your dreams and, you know, following your creative dreams, things like that. And now what I focus on more of is helping alleviate, you know, overwhelm and returning to this childlike sense of play and joy and bringing people back into like things that they really love that make them happy. Because I found that, you know, from what I'm seeing, that's what I can tell what is needed for me the most right now, especially after this last year. I think that a lot of us have like had a hard time, you know, being separated from a lot of the things that bring us joy. Like, you know, travel is a big thing for a lot of people, and it is certainly for me, and spending time with loved ones and friends and things. And so it's really important, I think, right now to prioritize that. And I've found with the range of, you know, different people that I've worked with, when we can focus on and prioritize that, other things naturally unfold in a really beautiful way. So we can be focusing on alleviating stress and creating more balance and having fun and, you know, joy. And what will generally happen is someone who's maybe, you know, another business owner who's feeling frustrated and unsure of what to do and overwhelmed and stressed and feels like they don't know what to do next and they just need help. When they can take some time to focus on the things that they really love, that'll bring them back into this place where they are inspired again. And they're maybe more clear on what they actually want instead of getting stuck in this place of thinking that they should do, you know, certain things that they don't actually want to do, or maybe aren't really leading them towards their true goals. Yeah. No, it's kind of like a roundabout way of saying I really do just help people with overwhelm. And overall, even though I have focused on these sort of different niches, like they all really interconnect. And it's the same sort of idea of connecting back to yourself, accepting yourself, and honoring, you know, what lights you up, honoring what makes you feel good.
Yeah, I love that. And I can say, like, from a personal point, as someone who worked with you, that, like, yes, absolutely, everything you've just said is true about starting to focus on fun more and everything kind of just falling into place after that. Absolutely. So yeah. If anyone's wondering what she coaches on, what she teaches, it works.
Yeah. And it is a little bit counterintuitive, right? Because it can feel like if you are stressed or overwhelmed, it can feel like, oh, well, I just need to work harder, or I need to put more effort into this thing that's not working or that doesn't feel right. And that actually creates a sense of pressure that can really drain your sense of creativity, and inspiration, and disconnect you from your intuition. And so if you can take a step back from that and get into this place where you're a little bit more relaxed and in tune with yourself, in tune with what you want, then things become more clear and things become a lot easier, you know, for you to do those difficult things that you're struggling with. Or either that'll happen, or you'll discover this other path that you actually want to do even more that is maybe a much, you know, better alternative.
Definitely. I love that. Do you have an example of some things that maybe you kind of like, let's say when you were in your corporate jobs and you were, you know, kind of stressed out and just losing yourself a little bit, were there things that you let go of or stopped doing, kind of pushed to the side, that now you found again, have had time to do, to notice that, like, obviously, like, really improved the quality of life you're living when you had time and like space to focus on things that are fun and that you love? And like, what are some of those things for you?
Yeah, definitely creative expression is really, really big for me. And I found that when I could take time to just honor my love of art, that would help me, you know, return back to myself really, really, really quickly. And the thing that can be tricky about that, though, is if you do identify as a creative person, is sometimes you can without even realizing it, put a lot of pressure on yourself to create something that's quote unquote like good or amazing or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And so it's a balance of, you know, getting into that space of creating artistically, but also taking the pressure off of expectation of what it should be and just exploring and experimenting. So definitely that has been really helpful to me. And that was really helpful to me then and now. And I think just small things are really helpful. I think people tend to really underestimate the power of small shifts and changes. Like taking 1 minute to focus on breathing, or 1 minute to meditate, or to just look around and appreciate the beauty of something. Just those types of things I've found really helpful wherever I am in life. And I really try to focus on making this aspect of, you know, greater wellness easy and attainable, and not have this idea that it has to be like 10 hours of meditation a week and, you know, like always, and like 30 minutes of yoga and journaling for 6 hours. You know, it's that can be great, but it's not really realistic for a lot of people. And that can be so overwhelming that it actually ends up being more detrimental, because people will go into it thinking, okay, this is what I need. This is what I need to fix myself. And which, of course, you know, nobody really needs to be fixed, but that you can get into that space where we think, oh, we need to like fix ourselves. And so I have to do this very specific prescribed thing for this long amount of time. And then it's so overwhelming that you might just stop. And then you feel like a failure on top of already feeling bad.
Right.
And so I like to make it just very, very easy, very simple, very easy, because then you can go from there and think, okay, you know, I feel a little bit better. Maybe I can do something else, or maybe I can let that be enough for now. And just proceed from there, paying attention to what feels good and what feels like it's honoring yourself.
Yeah. So do you, okay. So let's say someone right now is kind of in a place where either they are working at a job, or they run their own business, or whatever they may be doing, where they're feeling like they're kind of stuck. They don't know which direction to take, but they're feeling like the sense of urgency to either, whether it's get a promotion or, you know, get more clients or something, like, and that, and things just aren't working and they're hitting a wall. What would be like your number one piece of advice to them right now?
Yeah, I would say to them, it sounds like they are in a place of high stress and putting a lot of pressure on themselves. And so I would say to do something, I would ask, or I would suggest to them to do something for themselves that they enjoy, that has nothing to do with anything that they're trying to achieve. So nothing that has to do with being productive, and nothing that has to do with building towards their goals, because that'll help them connect back to themselves. And when you can connect back to yourself, you are able to access your intuition a lot more easily, and that can help you see what you actually want. So what I find with a lot of people is when they are in these high stress situations, what often happens is when we take some time away to refocus and just have some like fun and joy and play in their lives, and you know, separate themselves from the stress, they'll find that they're working towards something they don't actually want. That happens a lot. Or they're setting up expectations for themselves that aren't really helpful, or aren't really leading them towards where they actually want to be. And so that's why I say connecting back to yourself is so important, because it can be so easy to take on these external expectations of like what we should do, or who we should be, or what we should accomplish. And often those goals don't actually lead us to greater happiness in our lives. And, you know, we can think that, oh, we just need to like make more money, but, and we need to have more clients, or we need to this or that, you know, or we need to like get this promotion, or we need to whatever. But what if the promotion actually means taking on these responsibilities that make you more stressed, or that are, you know, maybe it includes doing less things that you actually enjoy, and that stress carries over, you know, into your personal life, and it actually leads you further away from happiness, or you're using the extra money that you make just to mindlessly buy things because you're so stressed, right? That it
yep.
Yeah.
Been there.
It's a very common thing that happens. I've definitely experienced it myself. And like, so that's why it's so important to just separate yourself completely from those things, because often, I'd say more often than not, people find that the goals that they're striving towards, that they're pushing for, aren't things that they actually really want. And aren't actually contributing to their greater sense of happiness and peace in their lives. And that can be kind of a scary realization to make too. But it is also really empowering too, because then from there, once you can see, okay, what do I actually want? You know, maybe I just actually want to enjoy my time at home more. So that means having less responsibilities in my work, so I don't have to take it home, you know, when I leave the office or when I sign off of work. Or maybe it means going for more walks, or doing little things that fill your day with greater sense of peace. So yeah, I mean, that would be my recommendation. Just, you know, do something completely opposite from that, because then that can create that clarity. But the second thing would be to, from there, from that place of like just pure enjoyment and pure happiness and relaxation, to then say, okay, what do I actually want for my life? And are these things that I'm telling myself that I should do, working towards that? And the answer may be yes as well. But I find that like, when you're in this place of feeling like you're pushing, or when you're like just trying and trying and trying, it's not working, there's usually a reason. And you know, usually it means that something does need to change.
Absolutely. That was a lot of really great advice. So hopefully I've been in a very similar place. That's why I asked that question. I'm kind of through that for now. But I know that there's other people out there who are in that same spot. And so hopefully that message reaches some of those people, because it worked very well for me. And I think that's great advice.
Yeah. And I think it's just important to keep in mind that we're all receiving these messages all day long of all these things that we should do and all these things that we have to do, or, you know, these things that we need to do in order to be a successful human. and a lot of those things aren't really true, and success doesn't really exist anyway. And so it's just important to continually remind ourselves that we can choose what makes us happy, you know, and that's okay. And we don't necessarily have to push harder, or strive harder, or like work ourselves to death in order to have a life that, you know, that feels really good. It's actually a lot simpler than that most of the time.
Absolutely. It's hard, right? Because like you grow up your whole life learning like the exact opposite.
And oh, totally.
Now you got to unlearn all of that.
Yeah.
It's definitely a journey. But I'm so glad that there's people like you that are out there, you know, reminding people that it's okay. It's okay to go the other direction, and it's okay to give up all of that pressure and all of those external influences that we've taken on throughout our life. So
yeah,
that's awesome. I have one more question, which could lead to multiple questions. I don't know, but it's slightly off topic.
And sure.
So, and it's a little personal, but so if you're ready, I'm curious, because so, you know, you are a queer woman, right?
Yeah.
And you're married to a woman. I'm a queer woman. I'm not married to a woman, but mm-hmm. I'm curious if being queer has uh-huh. had any influence on the direction you've taken in your business uh-huh. or any impact on the clients that you work yeah. with or anything like that. Like, obviously, anyone who's in the community knows that, like, the struggle comes in mm-hmm. sometimes in unexpected areas and sometimes mm-hmm. it's beneficial in other areas. So I'm just curious as to how that has played a part, if it's something that you consider, you know, part of your obviously mm-hmm. it's part of your identity, mm-hmm. but how much of that goes into how you coach or who you coach and the community mm-hmm. that you've built?
Yeah. So I'm actually not married yet, but I will
be.
I'm engaged. Yeah. COVID kind of threw a wrench in the whole wedding thing.
Gosh. You guys just seem so married. You always say like the woman who's going to be my wife, or I knew she was going to be my wife or something like that. So I think that I always just assume you guys are married.
Yeah. Definitely fair assumption. We live a life that is very much like we're married. So it definitely does tie into it. And I think it's like this overall theme of self-acceptance that reaches across, you know, everything that I teach and everything that I try to represent in my work. Because when I was struggling with my identity, you know, my sexuality, I really had a hard time accepting myself. And I felt like I wish that I had like different techniques or different things to help me kind of see myself more clearly, if that makes sense. Because I just had so many conflicting sort of things going on in my head a lot of the time, thinking that I was wrong or something was wrong with me. And so it was a long process of coming out for me. I actually dated men for many years, and that was fine. You know, I had some really lovely relationships, but I always wanted to be with a woman. And just felt like for a long time that it wasn't possible for me. And that wanting this for myself was like, meant that something was wrong with me, or that I was flawed, or that I was crazy, or something like that. And so I think that really does bleed out into like a lot of what I do, because I really don't want people to feel like there's anything wrong with them. It's the worst feeling. Mm-hmm. And I want them to be able to see themselves for who they really are and accept that, you know, and not feel so overwhelmed by the different messages in society of like telling us a certain way that we should be in terms of, you know, work and our passions. And also in terms of like, you know, who we are in our core. In our, you know, in our sexuality and our identity. So I think that, it definitely has a really big part in my work because of that. And I think that there have been multiple different sort of like coming out experiences for me. And one of them, you know, has been, of course, coming out in my sexuality. But another one has been, you know, coming out as like sort of a creative person. So another thing that I thought was really flawed about me, I thought it was like wrong with me. Another one that's come more recently, is understanding and accepting myself as having ADHD, which has like played a big part in my life, and really made a lot of things very difficult. But coming to this place of like accepting that about myself and actually really liking that about myself. And those things aren't easy. That's why, you know, I think this work is really important, is because it's so much easier to just really get down on ourselves and just say like, well, you should be like this. And you know, why can't you be like other people, or something's wrong with you, or you shouldn't be having this difficulty with this thing. But if you can get to a place where you say, you know, this is a little bit different about me, but it's okay. And actually, this is a positive thing because it means this and this. Then that's such a greater place of like love, and it's such a more pleasant place to be, you know, in your head. We all live inside our heads, so we want to make it nice, right?
Absolutely.
I want to bring that experience to people however I can. You know, whether they are queer or not, I work with all different types of clients, but I think that, yeah, that has definitely been a big part of defining my path because of that.
I love that. And I can relate in a lot of ways. And I think that's like, do you feel like every time you kind of have like one of these coming out moments, whether it's, you know, your sexuality, your creativity, accepting your ADHD and things like that, does it get easier? Or do you feel like every time you have one, like it kind of gives you more of a sense of like, I need to keep helping other people do this for themselves? What's the experience there like?
Yeah. No, I don't think it gets easier. I wish I could say that it did.
I love the honesty.
Yeah, I really wish I could say it gets easier. It does not. But I think that, and I think that there's also this period of like immense self-doubt that can come with a really big period of growth. You know, I think those things tend to go hand in hand. So It is very difficult each time, but I think that maybe if there is one aspect that's easier, it's the ability to look back on accepting myself in these other ways and realize how far I've come there. Like if I think about myself as like a 12-year-old and first sort of like first knowing, you know, that I was interested in other girls, if I could tell that 12-year-old version of myself that, you know, one day you're going to be engaged to a woman, like I wouldn't believe it. There's no way. And, you know, not only that, but that it wouldn't be considered the worst thing in the world by everybody else, which is how I felt at that time. And like, it's been pretty recent actually that people have been a lot more accepting. And I grew up in a small town and it was pretty conservative. And so, I just didn't really feel like that was possible at all for me. Yeah. And even if it was possible, like I felt like I would be faced with so much hatred that I wasn't even sure it'd be worth it.
Right.
So yeah, to see from that point until this point, how far I've come, it just really allows me to see like, okay, well, I feel like if I can make that amount of progress in self-love and acceptance and shifting my identity to really honor who I truly am, then I can do that with really any part of my identity, you know, any part of who I am. And so that kind of grows a little bit. But it's definitely not easy. And I think that the more you tune into what you really love and follow what you really love, the harder it can be because you care so much. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm in this place now where I'm like reconnecting to my artistic practice. And that has been so hard because I care so much about it. Whereas, you know, if I didn't care, if I was really indifferent, like, you know, I could create some art or I couldn't or whatever, like no big deal. You know, then it would be pretty easy. But because I care so much, it is really, really challenging. And I think that that's kind of just one of the things that makes life beautiful is our degree of love, you know, for different things and different people. But it also is what makes it painful. You know, the more you love something, the more pain, you know, the
human experience.
Yep.
What a conundrum. I love that. That was all of what you said was just like so beautiful and so amazing. And I can definitely relate to growing up in kind of like a conservative Christian town. I was raised Christian, so I had a lot of those same kind of just like, you know, wondering like what's wrong with me, like, you know, this is a problem type thing, and overcoming that. So I can totally relate. And I am so like happy that you were able to overcome those things and, you know, like kind of fully bloom into yourself, because I think you're just such an awesome person and you put out such like awesome vibes. I swear, like anytime I get on a Zoom call with you, I'm like, you just look like a fairy or something. You're just so like, I don't know how to explain it. You have great energy, and I just really enjoy having you in my circle of peeps. So
I love having you in my circle of peeps too.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm so happy we made it through all of that without cutting off again.
Yeah,
that was awesome. And I think we're kind of coming to a close now. But if you do you have anything like any last messages for the world, any important things you got to get out there? And if not, let's tell the people where they can find you.
Sure. Yeah. So for anybody who's feeling a little bit stressed or overwhelmed or frustrated about really any aspect of their lives, one of the very, very simplest things that I recommend that you can do to connect back to yourself, maybe, you know, connect back to your intuition or connect back to what you really want, is just the extremely simple practice of following what feels good to you. So that's something that's probably like my number one recommendation for people, because it is so easy. And so what that means is just like following different things in your life that feel, that make you just feel like a greater sense of peace, a greater sense of joy and happiness. So that could be maybe like taking a walk in the sun, or that could be maybe baking something that sounded really nice to create, or it could be really anything. And it's important to also make the distinction between like feeling good as in like short-term pleasure, and feeling good as in like really soul renewing and just really fulfilling type of feeling good, if that makes sense. I think people know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think they do.
Yeah, awesome. So rather than like just, you know, eating like a piece of candy or something, it's more like creating something, you know, that makes you feel really good about yourself. So if you can just integrate little tiny things like that into your life, so that could be, you know, meditating for a minute. It could be like writing a short poem. It could be going for a walk. It could be playing with your dog or whatever. Those little things will lead you to other things that will make you feel good and make you really happy. And that can also help direct people. This practice can also be helpful in terms of like, managing your work life. So if you're finding that you're very stressed, it could be that you're doing a lot of things that you really don't enjoy or that you don't feel like you're very good at. And if you can shift that into things that you do enjoy that make you feel really good about yourself, then your experience of work completely changes. So really this simple practice can be applied to any number of situations. And it's truly life-changing if you can like tune into how to do it, you know, multiple times a day, as many times as possible.
I love that. Thank you so much. Thank you for those awesome words of one, encouragement, and just like direction, and like almost like this allowing, because I think that's something that a lot of us humans don't allow ourselves to have fun. We don't allow ourselves to kind of veer off the beaten path because it's scary. But I think that you do such a great job of making it like seem so non-complicated and so simple. It's just like, you know, go have fun. And I love that. So thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for answering some of my, you know, more personal questions and things I asked you. You're so awesome, so open, and just so helpful. And I really, really appreciate that. So where can people find you if they loved you? Because I'm sure they did. Where can they find you? How can they work with you? Where are all the places that you're at?
Yeah, so I'm actually in the process of building out a couple of new places that people can be in touch with me. But those aren't fully fleshed out yet. So in the meantime, where you can find me is on Instagram. So I'm at Finding Sparks on Instagram. And I am also at Camille the Creative on Instagram. And then from there, I'll be sharing different links and resources to find me there. And you can also find me on my website at findingsparks.com.
Awesome. And I'll put links to all of those in the show notes for anyone listening to get, you know, you can get there quickly. And yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Camille. I hope you have a beautiful weekend.
Thank you.
I'll be talking to you soon because I'm pretty much always talking to you. So, all right. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.